Faith is important in the kingdom of God. It represents your understanding that God has given you salvation that's eternal. And it's not about buying your salvation. It's about thanking God for your salvation. If anybody had saved your life, would you owe a debt of gratitude to them? I would. If somebody had saved your life, I promise you, a friend of mine years ago, he was 86 years old. He was fishing up at Sunrise Lake late in October. And he was out in the middle of the lake with his boat, and there were two gentlemen down at the other end of the lake, and they were in a canoe. And if you like canoes, I can tell you canoes are dangerous. And the canoe is a boat looking for a way to tip over. That's really what a canoe is. And they had tipped their canoe over, and there were only two boats on the lake. He was up on this end. They were down that end. And his wife, she didn't like him going fishing by himself at 86, so she would go sit up in the car and watch him and make sure everything was okay and read a book. And so all of a sudden, he hears his horn honking, and it's just honking and honking and honking and honking. And finally, he realizes that something's up, so he heads back to the car. When he gets close to the shore, his wife is saying, "No, this way, this way." And there's two men hanging on to a canoe. Barely hanging on to a canoe. How many know at 9,000 feet the water gets really cold in October? And at 86 years old, this is a true story, 86 years old, he backs his boat up and he drags both 30-year-old men out of the water over the back of his boat, which was a 14-foot V-hull big boat. Drags them, they can't even move. They literally cannot move. And at 86 years old, he drags them into the boat. He takes them into shore. They cannot move out of the boat. They cannot get out of the boat. He lifts from both of them and gets them in their car, puts them in the car, brings them hot chocolate, the hot chocolate he had left, gets the car started, gets the car warmed up, and literally saves their lives. Saves their lives. And what was interesting is, after that, a bond and a friendship grew. And for a while, he would get Christmas cards every Christmas from each man. And then pretty soon, one man didn't send a Christmas card. And the next Christmas, he didn't send a Christmas card. And the next Christmas, he didn't send a Christmas card. But the other man sent a Christmas card every Christmas, telling him, "Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for saving my life." The tithe is simply a way of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my life." Amen. That's free. That don't cost you a dime. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I don't know why the Lord had me tell that story, but that's what the Lord told me to do, to tell that story. So you got that story whether you like it or not. I want you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. In Ruth and Genesis. And as we look at the story of Ruth, we realize that this is so important to us as Gentiles. This is the chapter and the verse and the book in the Bible that God said that one day Jesus Christ will marry a Gentile bride. This book tells us that God can take total dysfunction and make it totally functional in Christ. This book says that I don't care what your past is, I don't care how bad your past is, how bad you are messed up, how bad of a situation you think you're in, how difficult your situation is, that God can redeem every situation known to man on earth. That God can redeem you from the curse of the sin and law. God can redeem you from your idolatry, from your whoremongering, from everything you've been in the past. And I love to tell people that tell me, "Well, you know, Pastor, God can't forgive me." I want to tell you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful than your sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has more power than any evil thing that you have done. And so in this, we look at the book of Ruth, and it's totally about redemption. It's totally about God saying, "I can reach down and pluck somebody out of obscurity and bring them into notoriety in a time and in a fashion that only God can do." How many know that you might just be a week away or a month away from total notoriety in God? Your son, your daughter, that you think, "God, where are they?" God knows where they are. God knows where they are. And God plucks this Gentile Moabitess woman out, idolatrous, out of Moab, and he brings her into the kingdom of Israel. She ends up marrying Boaz, who was a kinsman redeemer, representative of Jesus Christ, our King. She's a Gentile woman now married to a Jewish king. That sounds like the bride of Christ married to Jesus Christ. And so in this we see that God has a plan of redemption for every situation, and there's no dysfunction that's bigger than God. No dysfunction in your life that's bigger than God. No dysfunction in your family, in your children, in your job, in your marriage. There's no dysfunction that's bigger than God. And so the book of Ruth is exciting to us as Gentiles and exciting to us just as humans that we look at any situation can be redeemed by the power of the living God. And so in this, Ruth has now come from Moab and she is now back in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi has said, we have a kinsman redeemer. I can't marry him. I'm related to him. I can't marry him. But you can, and there's a kinsman redeemer that can redeem our entire situation and can take you and make you legitimate before the living God. How many know that when you accept Jesus Christ, you who are not a people are now a people. You who were not known to God are now known to God, and you are legitimate sons and daughters unto God. Adopted sons and daughters. You're going to say, I'm legitimate. My brothers used to mess with me when I was younger and tell me I was adopted. You know, that messes with the little kids. But the reality is I am legitimate in Jesus Christ. I'm legitimate son of God and heir to the promises of Abraham. So in this process, Naomi says, there is a place that Boaz will be. How many know there is a place that Jesus Christ is? There is a place that Jesus Christ is, and it is a place of blessing. It is a place of anointing. And she tells her, tonight Boaz will be at his threshing floor, not his hired hands, not his supervisor, not his head honcho. It will be Boaz himself at the threshing floor tonight. And he said, there is going to be a promise there of what I'm going to give you of God working in your life and God taking you to another level. How many know that in God there are divine appointments, moments, and times? In God, there are divine moments, appointments, and times that are defined. And the reality is, do you understand divine moments and appointments and times of God? The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. See, there were some in Israel that understood this is a divine moment when this baby was born. How many know that the Bible says the wise men understood that this is divine? We're going to go see this divine child. This is divine. Are you aware of the divine moments of God in your life? Because they do come. They do happen. And the reality is, most of Israel missed a divine appointment with the living God. Most of Israel missed a divine appointment with the living God. My job is to make sure you don't miss divine appointments with the living God. So this is what the exhortation was. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Ruth. Then Naomi and her mother-in-law said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, whose maidens thou wast with? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore. Everybody say, wash thyself. She now gives her some steps that she says, this is what you do before you go present yourself to Boaz. This is what you do. There's some steps. There's some things you need to do. We need to wash off all of the Moabitess attitudes, all of the Moabitess religion, all the ways you used to think, all the ways you used to be. She said, tonight is a new night. Tonight God is going to do something new, but we got to get rid of the old you. So wash thyself, therefore, one, anoint thyself, two, put thy raiment upon thee, three, get thee down to the threshing floor, four, but don't make yourself known unto the man, five, until he hath done eating and drinking. And when he hath lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And I'm going to talk about each one of these in this series of what these mean spiritually. Each and every one of these have a spiritual connotation of what God wants us to do in our Christian walk, in our Christian experience with coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that we come to Him in reverence and in fear and great fear of God? And not fear of Him, but fear of Him being mean to us, but fear of reverential fear unto God. There is a reverential fear that is holy. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. She's saying, I'm going to give you some wisdom about how to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you some understanding here. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, uncover his feet. Uncover his feet. I wonder what that means. And lay thee down. I wonder what that means. And he will tell thee what to do. And Ruth says, okay, I'll think about it. Well, I'll do some of them. I'll do three of them, but I don't like those last seven. No, she says what? I will do all, all that thou hast said. All that thou hast said. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 43. 41, I'm sorry. And this is where Pharaoh has called Joseph out. He's heard that Joseph can interpret dreams, and he calls Joseph up out of the prison. How many understand that God can change things in your life in a day? Two of you understand that. God can change things in your life in a day. And Pharaoh sent and called to Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment. And changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. Hold it. Hold it. What was that? Wash thyself therefore, Ruth, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. The Bible says that Joseph, if you have a Dake's Bible, it says that this is the moment that Joseph knew God was answering the prayers he had been praying for years. This is the moment that Joseph knew this is a divine moment in God. This is the moment that Joseph knew. This is a divine moment, experiential moment, where God is going to answer my prayer, and I've got to change my raiment, I've got to shave my face, and I've got to get ready for this meeting with Pharaoh. How many understand, Ruth, you need to change for Boaz. Boaz doesn't need to change for you. Boaz is already dressed. He's already fine. He's already good. You need to change for him. Joseph, Pharaoh already has a ring. He already has a cloak. He already has a crown. You need to change for him and change your raiment for him. He doesn't need to change for you. He doesn't need a job. He's got a job, Joseph. He's not in prison, Joseph. You need to change. And the reality is, many times as believers, we think we need to change for anybody. We think we've arrived. Lord, I will never deny you. Oh, Peter, you fool. Most Christians today, they want everybody else to change around them, but they don't think they need to change anything about themselves. Ruth, you need to wash yourself. You need to anoint your face. My goodness. You need to wash yourself. I don't think that Ruth was really probably a dirty woman. I don't think she was probably a foul woman. But she said, I'm going to give you some things you need to understand in approaching Boaz. Wash yourself thereof, number one. Anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee. Are you going to God's threshing floor with an attitude, a Moabitess attitude, a Moabitess philosophy, a Moabitess belief system, a Moabitess belief system that said everything is God but God? A Moabitess belief system that said killing babies is okay? A Moabitess belief system that says there is not one God, there's many gods. She said, you can't go to the threshing floor with that old attitude. There's only one way to God, and that's through the man, Jesus Christ. Ruth, there's only one way to this salvation. It's going to be through Boaz, a kinsman redeemer representative of Jesus Christ. So I've got news for you. None of you have arrived today. I've got needs for you. I have not arrived today. There are still things in my life and your life that we can wash ourselves, we can anoint ourselves, we can put raiment upon ourselves, we can get down to the threshing floor. Down to the threshing floor. I wonder what that means, get down to the threshing floor. I don't know if we'll get there today, but we'll get there in this sermon, or in this series. So I want to ask you, are you teachable? Are you teachable? If you are given wisdom from God's Word, will you accept it? You will not believe, as pastors and counselors of people that we pastor and we counsel, and we'll give them God's exact word on their situation, and they will not hear it. I've had a man tell me, I've literally had people tell me, I will not do what the Bible says. I've had them tell me, I cannot do what the Bible says. And guess what? There's nothing God can do in that situation. If you want to be obedient to God's Word, how do you expect God to move in a situation where you won't be obedient to His Word Himself? Right. I had a man flat out tell me, I can't do that. I will not do that. Flat out tell me. In a marital situation, I cannot do it, won't do it. I can't change, I need God to change. I need her to change. No, you need to change. You need to start right there at your own house. Are you teachable today? And she said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You know, what if Ruth had caught an attitude and said, you know what the reality is, Naomi? I'm a good-looking Moabitess gal, and I don't even need to worry about any of the rest of this stuff. I'm going to just sashay down there blink my eyes, and Boaz is going to go nuts over me. Mm-hmm. Boaz is too smart for that, honey. I'm just going to sashay down there, and Boaz just won't be able to resist me. She said, honey, there's some things you need to do. Do you not understand that there are many women in town that want to marry Boaz? You need to do some things. You need to learn some things. You need to be teachable. Anoint yourself. Anoint your face. And what does that mean? We've talked about wash yourself. We talked about anoint yourself. Put on raiment. Anoint yourself. It means put on a new attitude. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Anoint your face. How many know that when you clean up, it changes who you are? I'm going to ask a question. I don't want to get anybody thrown. Did any of you women put on makeup before you left the house today? By a show of hands, did you put on makeup? Two or three of you say no. That's fine. But what do you understand that when you put on makeup, women, it changes your character and your nature and your countenance? How many comb your hair before you leave the house? Why? It's just going to get messed up again tonight. Right? No, seriously. Why would you comb your hair? Just want to get messed up again? Why would you just brush your teeth? They're just going to get dirty again? Presentable. So, I wanted to show you. Now, how many have ever gone to Walmart at about 10 or 11 in the morning? And you get down to Walmart and they're just people that you just stumble out of, and they got out of bed and they're at Walmart. And they're wearing their pajamas. This guy. Ruth, I need you to wash yourself. I need to anoint yourself. You ever seen this guy in Walmart? Ruth, I want you to wash yourself. How many know that washing yourself and anointing yourself, it changes the nature of who you are, and the anointing of God brings God's blessing on your life. The anointing of God transforms you into who you are, into who God wants you to be. That's what the anointing does. Anoint your face. So, let's see if we can clean this guy up. Same guy. I'm not saying the other guy's a bum or anything. It's just that's what the Bible says. Naomi told her, Ruth, I want you to anoint yourself. I want you to wash yourself. I want you to clean yourself up. You're going to meet a king. You're going to meet Christ himself. And understand what I'm talking about today is spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in nature. And if we clean up our flesh, why don't we work on cleaning up our spirit? How many know that you are body, soul, and spirit? And that your spirit is eternal. Your spirit is what's going on. Don't you know God is the spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? Your spirit, man, is eternal unto God. So if we wash up our fleshly man, why don't we wash up our spiritual man? And everything that Naomi is telling Ruth here to do has a spiritual connotation. You're not going to go down there and meet Boaz and bring your Moabitess attitudes and thoughts and religion and religious beliefs and doctrines into the man of God here in Bethlehem. How many know that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem? How many know that the Bethlehem means the house of bread? That's what it means. She said, you're not going to go to the man who owns the house of bread and come in there with a Moabitess attitude. Yes, you have your Moabitess attitude and everything that's happened in your past. There's a man that can change all of your dysfunction in one night. Every problem in one situation, God can fix. So let's go to our next guy. This is a guy I see at Walmart right here. In his pajamas. I'm serious. Anybody ever go to Walmart? I just go in the back corner in the automotive section. And they're there. And I want to ask them, hey, have you brushed your teeth? Have you combed your hair? Do you got any Levi jeans you could wear? This is how they get out. This is how they come. One day I was at Arby's at 11 o'clock in the morning. 11 o'clock in the morning, and I saw a girl coming across the street. And I thought, those are some interesting pants she has on. They look like Christmas. And when she got up to my truck, she was headed to Kmart. Kmart was still open. And I noticed they were pajamas. And she was in her pajama bottoms, pajama tops, but she had her purse. And she was headed to Kmart. This is... Are you ready for a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about five virgins that were wise, five virgins that were not. How many of you are going to meet Jesus Christ one day, and your king cometh? Your king cometh. Your king cometh. And you're either going to be ready or you're not going to be ready. Is this what you're going to look like when he shows? Or are you going to look like this? Clean yourself. Anoint yourself. I didn't leave you ladies out. I didn't leave you ladies out. And I was smart enough not just put women up here. So let's take a look. Okay. Ruth, clean yourself. Anoint your face. Let's see if we can fix her up here. What if we did this to our spirit man? What if we did this to our spirit man? And this is what Naomi is telling Ruth. Let's dress the spiritual man. Let's dress the spiritual man. Lord, I will never deny you. Peter, you lion sack. You will deny me tonight 3 times before the rooster crows. Peter, you have not arrived. We need to dress some things up in your life right now spiritually. How dare you think you've arrived. I'm arrived, I'm there. No, Peter, you have not arrived. This gal cleaned up pretty good. But I'm talking in the spiritual sense. Could God do a makeover on you? Could you listen to the Word of God and get a spiritual makeover and change the way you look spiritually? I believe that we all could. Let's try some other gal here. I mean, she's a pretty gal. She's a pretty gal. Let's see if we can fix her up. So Naomi says, honey, wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put raiment upon thee. Anoint yourself. Anoint your face. Put on a new attitude, a good attitude. Do you have a good attitude as a believer? Do you have a God attitude as a believer? I can tell you there's times I don't. I'll be honest with you, there's times I don't. When somebody drives up on my rear end of my truck, I don't have a God attitude. I look like the other guy. I'm that other guy. But the Bible says that we need to put this on. It's a spiritual comparison. And it does to you what makeup or a makeover does to in these pictures of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brighten your countenance. Are you a happy Christian? Are you a happy Christian? For the most part. I like that's a true answer. That's a really good answer. Because the anointing of God changes who you are to who God wants you to be. So I want to ask you, are you a happy Christian? In Genesis 4:6, when God deals with Cain and Abel, it's interesting to me that God comes to Cain and he says, first of all, why are you angry? Why are you angry? Why are you angry? And then he says, why has your countenance fallen? And what did God say? If you follow the pattern of this, you'll understand this. God said, anger has taken your countenance down. Anger has taken your countenance down. Anger has destroyed your countenance. Oh, I didn't know God worried about or even cared about our disposition. Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? Maybe God cares about our disposition. Maybe we need to understand that our disposition affects our position with Christ. Our disposition affects our position with Christ. It did with Cain. God wanted to know, why are you so angry? And he said, your anger has brought you down. Your anger has taken your countenance and it has fallen. God notices your disposition. Look at Cain. Look at Moses. Do you know after Moses told God 11 times, he said, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to go down to Egypt and pull those Israelites out of there. He told God 11 times, I'm not doing it. The 11th time God said, be careful. On the 11th time God said, don't you ever backtalk me again about this. Right. Oh my God, I didn't know God cared about our disposition. You read it. There's 11 times that he said, God, I can't do it. God, I won't do it. The 11th time God said, shut up. It's in your Bible. I promise. No, God got serious with Moses. That's in my Bible. I don't got time to turn it over. You can read that and read the story. But on the 11th time, God said, I'm tired of you whining and griping and complaining about this. I said, this is your anointing. This is your calling. I want you to dress yourself up, Moses. I want you to change your attitude. We're going to do this thing. I've anointed you to do it. Quit complaining and whining about it. Moses never did after that time. He never said one more time, God, I can't. He never said one more time. He said, let's go do this thing. Yeah, amen. God cares about your disposition. So what, now we understand the exhortation to Ruth. Anoint yourself. That's what the anointing does. It gives you a fresh, clean, spiritual glow. It does. It gives you an effervescence of the anointing of God is on you. The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Are you happy today? Yes. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Not everybody said amen. Okay. You might have to deal with God, not me. Moses, are you happy? No. You better get happy. On the 11th time, God said, get happy. I'm serious. It's in your Bible. God, the 11th time, God said, I've had it. And understand that Romans 8:28 that says all things work together for good. You have got to make that a life's verse of understanding. I may not like where I'm at, but I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to murmur about it. I'm going to praise God in it because I can trust God because He's a man of His Word. And if God says, I'm going through this, it means He's going to get me to this point. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you're born again, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is your husband, He's your maker, and He has plans for you. He has divine moments, He has divine times. And in that, you need to understand, all things are working together for good. Can you say amen to that? You need to be happy about that. This is going to work for my good. This is going to work for my good. Three of you believe it. Praise God. I got three of them, Lord. Three of them believe it. You have got to get that as a scripture, life scripture. All things work together for good. And understand that there are times that we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, this is not you. That's right. If the real Stephen came through today, I would be fishing. The real Stephen would be fishing today. If God then told me this is what I want you to do, the real Stephen would be fishing or hunting or something along those lines. The reality today is most people think in America, I need to keep it real. I need to keep it real. Yeah, that, the me generation, we just need to keep it real. And I love Christians that need to keep it real. And they just have to be real all the time, and so they have to say everything that's on their mind. And they're real broke, and they're real angry, and they're real unemployed, and they're real divorced, and they're real bankrupt. And they just have this attitude. You ever run these crazy? Well, they just didn't appreciate my gifting. They just didn't know how God has anointed me. They don't appreciate what I bring to the table. Really? Really? People don't want that. I'll tell you what people want. Good morning. Welcome to Home Depot today. Yeah, I'm glad that you came. It's good to see you. Can I help you?
That's right.
How you doing? That's not what you get. But that's what you want.
Right.
Anybody had a bad experience with a grumpy cashier or with somebody at just someplace, Ace, Home Depot? And the whole time the attitude was, I ain't even got to deal with you. Anybody know that feeling? It seems to be rampant up here. People want to meet a nice you, a considerate you. The glory of God on your life. Thank you for coming in today. Coming into work, coming into church, the traffic was so bad, my babysitter's sick, I can't get nobody down there, I hate the weather. Nobody wants to hear that. They want you to anoint yourself. They want you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know who the highest paid people are in America? No. Not even close. Salesmen. Salesmen. Highest paid people in America. Salesmen who know how to sell with a right attitude, a right heart, the way to deal with people. How many know that The way you treat people is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ. God so loved, He gave. How you treat people is a reflection of how your relationship with Jesus Christ works. Nobody wants to hear, "Oh man, I just can't stand things. My dog died, my cattle, they're all run free, my goodness." Nobody wants to hear that. Ruth, anoint yourself. Put it on, say it with me, put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him on. Put Him on. Put Him on. No, it's not you. And I, yes, you're anointed, but nobody feels like they're anointed all the time. But that's why the Bible says, put on Jesus Christ, because He is anointed all the time. And if you put Him on long enough, pretty soon you'll start acting like Him, walking like Him, and talking like Him, even when you don't feel like it. So Bible says what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a command. Romans 13:14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make provision not for the flesh. Oh. So you don't just, so when you put on Jesus Christ, it takes that flesh provision out of the way. It takes that crying, whining, sniveling, sneezing Christian flesh out of the way. And pretty soon what you have is a grown up, born again, mature Christian. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm telling you, the flesh is the whiningest, cryingest thing you'll ever run across. In fact, in Romans 8, says, the Bible says your flesh is at war with God. The flesh is at war with God. Romans 8:7. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get dressed spiritually for today. I know it doesn't matter how you feel. I got news for you. Everybody in this room has something they could complain about. Everybody has something they could complain about. Doesn't change anything. So it doesn't matter how you feel when the Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't leave the house without clothes. You don't leave the house without makeup. Why do you leave the house without spiritual clothing or makeup? Wash yourself, Ruth. Anoint your face. How many know that just because you're anointed doesn't mean you'll always feel anointed? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. It says heavenly places. It doesn't say in heaven. It says in heavenly places. But I can tell you right now, your attitude can pull you back down to hellish places. Just like that. You keep wondering what's cursing you. It's not witches, it's not doctors, it's not witch doctors, it's not demons, but it is just your attitude that says, I won't relax in the person God has made you to be. I won't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I won't do that, the devil says you're game for me to attack your mind. The Paul says, I serve the Lord with my mind. I pray for you every day that you'd have right minds, sound minds, whole minds, transformed minds. Renewed minds, the mind of Christ. That's one thing I pray for each and every one of you. Every day you have right minds. It's important to have a right mind. If you don't have a right mind, you can't have a right life. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. What is God asking me to be? Happy? Is God asking me to have joy, to be happy, to be an earthly representative of who He is and what He represents? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Anybody ever heard that song? Joy to the world. Jesus has come. He's brought joy. He's brought the joy of heaven. How many know heaven's a happy place? When people don't like your attitude, they don't want to be around you. Have you ever met with somebody that was so negative that by the time you were done talking to them, you were ready to shoot either you or them? Cain, why is your countenance so fallen? Apparently even God has an attitude towards a bad attitude. Apparently even God has an attitude about a poor attitude. Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Ruth, get dressed up. You're about to go meet the Maker of the universe. Put some raiment on. Clean your face. Wash your face. Anoint yourself, girl. You're going down to meet the Maker. Act like you're excited about it. The Bible says in Psalm 102, serve the Lord with gladness. God says, if you're going to do something for me, do it with gladness. Do it with joy. God said, I don't want you serving me with a frown. I don't want you serving me frumping and dowdy. I don't want you serving me looking like you just got out of bed, headed to Walmart at 10 o'clock in your pajamas. I want you to serve me with gladness. Come before His thank courts. Enter His praise courts with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter His courts with praise. God said, get happy about being a Christian. Get happy that I'm your bridegroom. Get happy for what I've done for you. Don't come to me like looking like that. Come to me looking like this. Bingo. God said, anoint yourself. You do this every day. David said, early in the morning will I seek thee. The best time to seek God is early in the morning. The best time to seek God is early in the morning. I'll tell you why. Because it sets the standard for the day. It sets the standard for the day. What's that old prayer? Lord, I haven't offended anybody today. I haven't had a bad thought today. I haven't said anything wrong to anybody today. And now when I get out of bed, hopefully I can live that. Amen. Amen. Once I get my feet on the floor, start running. God says, if you're going to do something for heaven, do it smiling. Do it smiling. Come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter His courts with joy. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Anybody know that heart? It's a song. Remember that song? David says in Psalm 95:2, come before my presence with thanksgiving. In Psalm 144:15, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. God said, I'm interested in your attitude and your countenance. God, anybody here own a business, ever had employees that just, every day they came to work were just like, man. And you wanted to give them a shot of B12? You want to kick them a kick in the backside? And how do you motivate people that are just always down? It's brutal. It's difficult. And God is saying, do I have to motivate you every day? I've given you eternal life. Isn't that great motivation to start with? Can we start with that? I saved your life. I saved your life. And you don't even send me a Christmas card anymore? Anoint yourself, Ruth. Wash yourself. Put on your raiment. Don't come before me moaning and groaning, complaining and whining, murmuring. I tell you, if anybody had a reason to whine and murmur, it would have been Jesus Christ. But I never heard Him whine and murmur and complain. I heard Him tell the truth to the Pharisees of what's going to happen because of what they had done. But do you understand Jesus Christ was not a whiner, a moaner, or a complainer? In fact, in the crucifixion, the Bible says He hung from the cross and He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I got news for you. It was good and glad for you that I wasn't up there because I would have said, Father, sick them. You saw with Caiaphas right there. You're glad it wasn't me. And I'm glad it wasn't you. Anoint yourself, Ruth. Anoint yourself for what God's about to do. Do you understand God is the God of reciprocity? Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. For as a man sows, therefore shall he. God is the God of reciprocity. I said, I've given you eternal life. I've given you joy. I've given you peace. I've given you understanding. Can't I get a little of that back from you? Can I get a? How many of you like it when your kids give back what the goodness you give to them? Anybody understand what I'm about? When the kids give back the goodness you give to them? Five of you. Okay. Doesn't it make you feel better when there's reciprocity? How many understand without reciprocity, marriage won't work? It don't work. Trust me. But the reality is, in Isaiah 61:3, God tells Israel, I understand that there are situations where you're down and where you're upset and where you're depressed. But God says, I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I will give you the garment. He said, you start praising me, watch what happens to the spirit of heaviness. You start praising me, you start worshiping me, watch what happens. You start getting intimate with me, watch what happens. You come down to the threshing floor with your face washed, your face anointed, watch what happens. I've given you the garment of praise. How many know the garment is a garment of praise is something God has given us? And God is asking, why don't you put it on? Why don't you put it on? If you're down in the dumps, start praising God and worshiping God. See what happens. Do it. Start worshiping. See what happens. Oh, Lord, you're good. When Israel went into battle, what did they say? The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. They just kept repeating that. The Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. Can you just say that to God? The Lord is good. That's easy. Say it with me. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Get that one in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. And so the next time, instead of you hitting your nail on your finger and you saying, oh my, say, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. I need a band-aid. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. You got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore imitators of God." You mean, Lord, you want me to act like you in this situation? Lord, you want me to act like you in this situation? Anoint yourself, Ruth. Anoint yourself. And here's the thing. Naomi was getting Ruth ready for the change of history. Her history, Israel's history, your history, your destiny, because Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David. Do you understand if there had not been a nation of Israel, Jesus Christ would not have come to the earth? Do you understand that? Jesus Christ would have had nowhere to come. That's why Paul says in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. He had to come to a place and a point in time where God said, this is a divine moment. The nation of Israel exists. They have Roman domination. That crazy David prophesied 800 years ago that they were going to crucify the Savior, the Messiah. Hadn't even been invented yet. But right now, Israel was under Roman domination. And guess what their number one form of punishment was? What? Your Savior was crucified. And God said, now in the fullness of time. There's a time and a place. And God said, this is the appointed hour. God has appointed hour for each and every one of us in our lives. Ruth, I need you to get ready for this thing. This is going to be something that is going to be revolutionary in your life. This is a God moment. This is a divine appointment. This is an time of understanding that this is the day God is going to change my narrative. God is going to change my destiny. God is going to reverse my history and embrace the destiny I have now have in Christ. That now I am putting on Jesus Christ. And from now on, I'm dressed in Christ. So happy are the people whose God is the Lord. This is the day. This is the day. Do you come into church happy or just come into church? My God, God is looking for people that are happy. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. Just don't know. Let me tell you something. You go to a third world country and you'll see what real poverty is, real destitution is. You'll see the reality of how hard life can be. Go to a third world country and see that. If you really want to understand that, talk to Rob Dyer about being in Afghanistan and Iraq and how evil and horrible some of the rest of the world is and how blessed we are here, how easy we have it here compared to the most of the rest of the world, and we wonder why our soldiers come back and they're messed up in their head because they have live in a country that has everything to offer that mankind can have, and we're still frustrated and angry and bitter and hateful and spiteful, and we don't even understand how cruel the rest of the world is. I got news for you. You ain't got problems. Go to Afghanistan, Iraq, and see what those problems are. I can take you to Mexico and show you problems. Get happy. God has blessed you to live in the greatest nation in the world. You have hot water. Two-thirds of the world woke up this morning and has no hot water. Two-thirds of the world. 12 billion people woke up happy. Larry, am I right? Where you come from in Romania? Nobody has hot water. You woke up, you have all the hot water you want. My goodness. You have all the soap you want. You have toilet paper that's good. In most places in the world, they have lousy toilet paper. Am I right, Larry? Newspaper. Well, that's about what big newspapers are worth in America today. Anyway. God said, you can't be happy. The blessings that are flowing in your life, you can't. Ruth, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to go down there. And this is what you need to understand. God was taking care of you before you even knew who He was. Boaz was taking care of you, Ruth, before you even knew who he was. He was letting you glean in fields and kept you alive. He actually had some of his reapers dropping seed for you. You didn't even know who he was yet. How many know it's by the grace of God you're here today? It is by the grace of God that you're here today, that you're alive today, that you even have breath today. It's by the very grace of God. He was taking care of you, Ruth, before you even know where Bethlehem was. I'm sorry I'm excited, but I'm going to tell you. One of the things that pastors have is a situation to sit down with men that have been in battle, and they will tell me things they won't tell you. They will. Because they know I won't ever say it. But I can tell you right now, one of the reasons American soldiers come back so messed up is they come back to a nation that is blessed beyond measure in relation to what they've seen in the rest of the world. And it's taken for granted, and then they are not appreciated for the sacrifice of what they did. Because I got news for you. What they have over there, Satan wants to bring here. If you have not read the Quran, the manifesto is that every infidel must die or convert. Read the Quran. That is the manifesto. I need you to understand what I just told you. And in the more words of Rob Dyer, and this is what he told me. America needs to wake up. You're either going to fight them on our soil, or you're going to fight them over there. Take your pick. They're not quitting. They're not quitting. They're not quitting. There'll be more planes coming in the buildings. There'll be more bombs coming. They're not quitting, brothers and sisters. They are so committed to their God that makes us as Christians look like we are weak and feeble. They're so committed to Allah. Allah's the moon. They're worshiping the moon. I worship the God who makes the moon. And they're more committed than we are. My goodness. They're committed, trust me. They are committed. I can talk like Rob because he ain't here, so I can talk about you, Rob. That's what happens when you're not here. Ruth, you need to change. Boaz is good. Joseph, you need to change. Pharaoh's good. If you ever want a real laugh, watch the interview with the millennial. It's on the YouTube web thing. You can watch it. It's just hilarious. Ruth, I'm preparing you. Prepare. How many know what a paring knife is? Prepare. Cut. Cut away those things that are not necessary. Cut away those things that need to be removed. Trim those things. Ruth, we're going to get rid of every bit of your Moabitess heritage. Every ideal, every concept, every belief system. And we're going to get you into a mindset and a concept of understanding how you approach the living God. How you approach the living God of Israel. This is not some cute little story of, hey, change your hair, do a makeover. This is about God saying, the spirit man needs just as much cleansing as the physical man. In fact, for your eternity, the spiritual man needs more cleansing. We as men, this is just in our nature, and this is what we get. You're not going to take a shower tonight? I mean, goodness sakes, I mean, we just get that. The reality is, Ruth, I want you to get dressed up. And yes, people might talk about you the way you're dressed. But if they understood where you would go, if they understood where you were going, you might look out of place right now, Ruth, but I know where you're going. You might look out of place. You ever been at a wedding and you're down in the lobby and at the wedding and everybody's else is in their pool, the trunks, you know, they're going to the pool? They know you're not going to the pool. You're in a tuxedo. They know you're going to something official. They know you're going to something that's designated. And because it's in the evening, they generally know it's got to be a wedding. Generally on a Friday or Saturday night, it's generally a wedding. And you might look out of place in the hotel lobby. But you look perfectly at place in the wedding ceremony. When I'm dressed up, everybody's in the lobby, but I got news for when I dress up with God. I'm not going to the pool. I'm not going to the pool hall. I'm going to church. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going down to the threshing floor. I'm going to go meet the King. Now you understand this get-up I got on. I'm going to meet somebody important. I'm going to meet the lover of my soul. I'm going to meet the one who's going to give me eternal salvation. Ruth, don't you know you're about to meet the man that is going to let you own the field you used to beg in? Let you own the field you used to glean in. The fields right now that once barely fed you will now feed you and many others forever. Get ready, Ruth. It's a divine moment. Wash yourself. Clean your face. Get your anointing on. Put on your raiment. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. I hope you're ready. Are you dressed for it? Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you dressed? And the Bible says, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. If five were ready and five weren't. I'm practicing owning the fields I'm begging in. I'm wearing a new attitude. I'm wearing a new ring. I'm understanding this is a God-given opportunity. I'm not going to get ready. I'm living ready. I'm living ready. I'm not going to get ready. I'm living ready. Let's finish with this. In Psalm 37, David writes something that's amazing. How many know that in a husband and wife relationship, it's wonderful to give your spouse gifts? It is. Just one of you know that? Hey, all right, guys, I'm going to tell you right now. Help yourself out. Give her a gift once in a while. Give her a gift. Good gracious. It doesn't just have to be on her birthday. Or your anniversary. You don't ever forget your anniversary. I have one time. I said one time. That's all. But David says something here in Psalm 37. This is a promise that we as believers, we read and we kind of just read through. In Psalm 37:3, he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Trust in the Lord and do good. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Ruth, you're never going to have to beg again for food. Ruth, you're never going to have to beg. David said, "I've been young, I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed of the righteous beg bread." And that's talking spiritually also. And then David says this, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He might give you." He'll think about giving you. "He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And you don't want to go dressed up to Boaz's house? Ruth, you delight yourself in Boaz's situation. You delight yourself in coming before him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. One amen there. You delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Last year I didn't get an out tag, so I didn't delight myself enough. This year I'm going to delight big time. Get ready, because I'm going to delight. I want an out tag, man. Give me an out tag. So you're going to see me crazy next year, because I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. This is what God is telling Ruth here. Honey, get ready. Delight yourself in this. This is a process of God fulfilling your heart's desire. God fulfilling your heart's desire. I told a pack of coyotes that today. They got all excited. I'm here to tell you today, God wants to fulfill your desires. You're going to go down there to Boaz's place. Get ready. Don't go there and think, "I'll get ready when I get there." No. Naomi taught her, get ready now for where you're going in God. Get ready now. Say it with me, get ready now. Get ready now, get ready now. In fact, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. Get ready now because you are about to deal with Him that is able to do abundantly above all you could ask, think, or hope. Ruth, you're about to meet Boaz, who can do abundantly above all that you could ask or think or hope. Where you begged, you'll now own. My goodness. Where you've gleaned, it'll now be yours. Delight yourself in the Lord. Go down there happy, honey. He don't need to change. He's good. Jesus don't need to change, folks. He's good. I don't need to change Jesus. I'm good. All I can do is call you Peter. Okay, Peter. Are you teachable today? Father, I just ask right now that you would just take this word. I ask that it would become an engrafted word of God. That what Naomi taught her here with God, this is a gold mine of spiritual representation of approaching Christ. It's a gold mine. And yeah, I know it's Old Testament, but so are the Ten Commandments. Father, it's a gold mine of how we approach Christ. And Father, today I just ask for the impartation by the person of the Spirit that God is a good God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Every good and perfect gift we know, Father, comes from your hand. And Peter wrote that. So, Father, we just stop today and give you pause and understand. You are a king, and there is a way to approach you. And one of it that we can come spiritually is with joy and thanksgiving and praise and worship unto you. God, you are a God of reciprocity. Delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? Clean yourself up. Bring up our slackers here. There's two versions of you. Oh, did I forget the offering? What did I forget? I forgot. Randy's at the door hollering at me. I don't know what he's talking to me. Which version of you is up there? What does this represent? Is this Charles Manson? Oh, man. Change it. Hurry. Change it now. God has a version of you. And He likes the version that He has died for. He likes the version He has died for. He loves you both. But He loves that version He died for. Stand with me as we get ready just now to give the blessing. This is the heart of the very God that Naomi's telling Ruth. This is what Boaz thinks to you. This is what Boaz thinks to you. To you. This is what Boaz. Okay, I'll just say this is what Jesus thinks to you. This is what Jesus thinks to you. This is what Jesus thinks to you. What He thinks to you, Jack. What He thinks to you. This is what Jesus. This is what Boaz thinks. The Lord bless you and keep you. These are the words of God Himself. The only prayer God ever prayed Himself specifically. The Lord Adonai, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And give you His peace. And give you His peace. Hallelujah. That peace that passeth understanding. The peace the world can't even, they can't even buy, they can't even find. They're looking for it, but they can't find it. Because it's at the threshing floor of Boaz. And God says this, it's interesting. You put My name on your children, I'll seek them. For I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim. I'm the generational God. When I chose you, I was after them. You receive it in the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.